There's a lot of things that's taking place. I don't think I'd have anybody dispute that. Might be a difference in their terms, you know, in terminology as to our thinking, as to how they feel about it and how I feel about it. And then a lot of times, if you understand, there's really not a difference there, because maybe the Lord has revealed something to them that it's the same thing that He's revealed to me, or something to me that's the same thing He's revealed to them. And it may be the very same thing. You know, it might not be a difference. It might just be the way you're looking at it. But, you know, it's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all told about Jesus, Jimmy. They just used a different approach. But they all told about Jesus, about the glories of God. Prophets wrote about it. They all took a different approach, but it was still glorifying God. I just love to talk about Jesus. Now, how many of you are too busy to listen to the Word tonight? All right. How many believe what the Bible said about taking time to be holy? Okay, you got time to be holy? A lot of busy folks in this world, they don't have time to take time to be holy, you know. They're too busy. But we've got some that they can take time. So if you could take time, well, we would appreciate it. I want to read just a little bit, and then I might say some things that might be of interest to you. I'm hoarse. You probably can tell that. I was hoarse this morning. And preached pretty hard the other night, and preached another tent too. And I've been traveling a lot in the last few weeks, months, traveling continually on trains and planes and buses and everything, you know. And it wears a person down. It really wears them down. It takes all their strength away from them. If they don't have God, they lose all their strength. And you have to depend on God, you know, to re-energize you and give you strength. But nevertheless, I believe Brother James will tell you it gets on your nerves. Kind of got on his nerves when them Germans got to give him problems. But I don't know where James understood Elijah too much getting upset until he got over with them German folks. But sure enough, people do get upset. The Bible said Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart. And sometimes you see people's hearts so hardened that you really have to pray, you know. But I'm kind of hoarse, and I try to do the very best I can to expound the Word. But see, you're not interested in how my voice sounds anyway. You're interested not in some great orator that's got a musical sounding voice, or some smooth-sounding voice like some lover boy, but you're interested in the Word of God and interested in the fact that it's not the man speaking, but God speaking, and that if it's God speaking, then it's worth listening to. Have you understood what I said then? I said, if it's God speaking, it's worth you paying attention and listening to it. If the president was going to speak, it'd be worth you paying attention, wouldn't it? Somebody said, well, I'm not so sure it's God. Well, what are you doing in little Bethlehem over here listening to a liar? Sure. If that's not true, if God isn't speaking, then Brother Pike's a liar. And you're over here listening to a liar. You ought not be here. But if you believe that this is true, then you know it's God. If it's God, you know you ought to listen. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way to look at it? All right. So then it is worth listening to because it is God. It's the Word of the Lord. I want to read some from the book of 1 Kings, if you've got your Bibles. And I try to be a considerate preacher. I know that preachers seem to be inconsiderate. You know, if they preach 2 hours, somebody will say, well, I think he's mighty inconsiderate. He knows I got to get up and work in the morning. Well, if you look at it like that, Paul was doubly inconsiderate because he preached all night, and I guess they still had to work. But how do you think they had to work for a living in that day? Sure, he preached all night, and I'm sure some of them had to work too. So, we're not as inconsiderate as you might think. It might be that you're inconsiderate concerning God. You give all your time to the lust of the flesh and to work and don't give enough time to God. That might be where the inconsideration is. All right, now, but I try to be as considerate as I know how to be. And I try my best to not to hold too long. I try to preach. I don't like for you to start pinching down on me and pressing down on me. If I go 30 minutes and feel to stop, I stop. I have come in here and not even preached to you because I testified or something was done and I just close the book and go home. But if I feel like preaching an hour and 45 minutes, I don't want you interfering with it. I want you to get up and leave. If you can't, you say, well, I just can't do that. Well, you do it at other times. So if you feel to get up and leave, get up and leave. I won't feel bad at you. Sometimes there's a sister that works here. She has to get up and leave and go on her job, I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe Sister Cook, don't you have a job you have to leave? Sometimes Sister Cook is on her job. She's compelled to leave to go on her job to make a living. Now, I got a feeling the kind of person Sister Cook is, she'd just stay right here and forget about the job if it wasn't for the way things is. But being a woman, having to work on a job and no man to support her, then she has to kind of be real careful when she gets a job. So she looks after it. I understand that. But now, some of you don't have to do that. Do you? I had a man over in Mississippi, was running revival. God was filling the church up and God was doing some wonderful things. And this young fellow had to get up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work. But he was so determined he was going to listen to God until he'd stay there. And if you preach pretty late and then you have to get up early, you're in a bad fix. But it looked like he was wearing his body slap out, just completely wearing his body out. But it couldn't make him stay away from that revival. He'd come anyway and he'd still go work. But you know what? I told him, I said, if you love Jesus, God will do something for you. I said, a man with that kind of attitude, promotion comes from God. We don't ever make any sacrifice. We don't ever get any promotion. That man made a sacrifice and we prayed and God turned it around and give him a job that was a day job or whatever it was. It's far better, worked out far better for him. Because he was willing to seek the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? God is so considerate. If we would stop being so inconsiderate of God, he'd be far more considerate of us. If it's God speaking, then let's be considerate of God. Let's pay attention and let's press in a little bit. They might come. You might say, well, I'm busy, Brother Pike, and I got a lot of things that I got to do. But supposing you go home tonight and the death angel taps on your door. You won't be too busy no more. How many of you know that? So you won't be too busy. If he taps on your door tonight and the Lord says, son, you was a little bit too busy and you were so busy with your business and your plans that you didn't have time to listen to me to talk tonight. And I just thought I'd let the death angel drop around a little early. You know what you'd do? You'd say, Lord, could you kind of roll back the scroll just a little bit, the time just a little bit? Could you give me one more chance? I believe I could pay more attention in church. I believe I'd enjoy it twice as much. Don't you believe the rich man in hell that has been there for hundreds of years and thousands of years and will be there for millions more? Don't you think he could spend a couple of hours in church if he had the chance? You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, don't go telling you fairy tales, Brother Pike. I'm not telling fairy tales. I'm telling you like it is. You're going to go to hell if you don't live for God. That's the reality, folks. You say, but God's not as strict as you are. The Bible said if you give your body a living sacrifice, you've just done a reasonable service. So we got to at least try to do a reasonable service if we expect to get in. All right, so Brother Pike said all that to get you in to where you'll sit and listen, but I don't say it to take advantage of you so I can preach an extra hour and just walk around up here and take up a lot of time. But I do want you to listen while I'm preaching. I do want you to pay attention until I get through. And I'll try my best to be considerate of you, just as considerate as I can. I'm the kind of a preacher, it don't make any difference. You can look at your watch and you can do like this, you know. Folks got a habit, when they want you to shut up, they'll look right straight at you. Don't bother me a bit. I seen them, they look at their watch, I'm handing this, I'm telling the truth. They'll look at their watch, they'll look back at you. They'll look at their watch, they'll look back at you, That don't bother me a bit. I'm going to preach right on until I get through. They do everything from get restless to go outside to pinch the baby. But I'm going to preach right on. So if you get the baby to crying, you're just going to have to hold the crying baby until I get through. But now if you'll work with me, when I get through, I'll try my best not to drag it out. And I can feel your spirit when it gets weary. A person, I can feel a spirit If a person's trying to do their best and they're weary and tired, and I can feel the Lord say, son, they're tired and weary. Don't take them no further. And I can see one, you know, they're just tired and weary because they want to get up and leave. They'd rather be watching a television show. And I can hear the Lord say, pay no attention to that fellow. You go and preach the gospel. Yeah. All right, so then I want to talk with you just a little bit. And I'm hoarse, and it makes it so difficult to preach. It takes so much effort when you're hoarse, you know, to preach the gospel. But I want to say something to you. All right. Reading from the first book of Kings, the 41st verse of the 18th chapter. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. All right. After this rain, you remember how that God... I want you to see this just a minute here. After this rain, after God had done so much for Elijah, now you're going to listen to me and see what I'm saying now? All right, look, you get a lesson out of this now. See, after this rain, after that Elijah had met Jezebel, after that they'd had a showdown, and after that the thing had come to a fine line, and God had magnified Elijah until he was just in the eyes of the people, he was like God. Now God had done this for Elijah. And there had been abundance of rain, just like Elijah said it would be. After all of this great victory, after all of the things that he'd done, after God magnified him like a god, and this will really help you if you listen to it. Elijah called the rain down. He called the fire down. He called a contest and he met Jezebel's prophets. And he proved himself to be the greatest prophet in all the world. Didn't he do it? And then after God magnified him till everybody in the world would have admired him and bowed down at his feet, he went off and sat down under a juniper tree and said, how about just letting me die? Now, can you fathom that? That's a human being for you. That's a person for you. That's why the church gets like it does. It gets cast down. We come in here and we start trying to shake you up a little bit and get you to wake up a little bit, see? And shake yourself a little bit. There's a man of God, mighty and powerful, that's done great and mighty things, that shook the very heavens, that's looked up to the heavens and told the heavens to give forth rain, and the rain came down at his word. That stood there, now think about this, a human being standing in a place just like Bethlehem and looking up to heaven and saying, God, send fire. And fire came sweeping down the earth. That's the kind of fellow he was. Now this is why that the writer of the New Testament refers back to Elijah. And he tells us, he said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Contend for it. Stay with it. What kind of saints was he talking about? He was talking about Elijah. Because he was a New Testament saint that was talking. He was over there an apostle, a prophet. Over there in the New Testament, we're referring back to it. It wasn't our day referring back to Pentecost, but it was Pentecostal day referring back to the prophets. And he said, you contend for that faith that was once delivered unto them saints. And then he brought out a little lesson. You know, he probably felt his congregation drop a little bit and thought, my, you mean a man like Elijah that would call fire down out of heaven? Somebody that could just say rain or not rain, and you tell me that I'm going to have faith like that? And see, here's what he points out to him. He said, now look, he said, Elijah was a man of like passion just like you are. Amen. He got upset just like you do. He was a man that sat down under a juniper tree and requested that he might die because he was melancholy. You see what I'm saying? Now why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he had a reason. He didn't just do it for nothing. He had a reason. Somebody said, well, Elijah, why did he do it? He had a reason for doing that. What was the reason that he did that? Because Elijah had got it in his mind and in his heart that there wasn't nobody left but him. Isn't that right? In other words, he said, God, I'm going to have a contest with Jezebel, and I'm going to whip every one of them fellas that work for her. And I'm going to show them up and shake them up. And I know all the rest of the prophets is dead. And when I get through, said, I just want you to take me on out of here with the rest of them. Elijah, God said, wake up, Elijah. He didn't use them terms, you know. He said, wake up, Elijah. Man, I got somebody else around. You ain't the only fella. Come on now. Wake up! You're not the only fella. Now, I'm not saying not the only prophet. I've heard people say, well, he wasn't the only prophet. I'm not saying that. I don't read that in the Bible. I don't read that in the Bible. But he said he did have 7,000 more that had never bowed their knees to Baal. In other words, he said, look, Elijah, the church hasn't gone out yet. The church hasn't been raptured. What do you want to die for? But did you know that God granted him his request to some extent? See, he done got to the place he couldn't die, done learned too much about God, done got too close to heaven, and he couldn't die at that time, so God had to do something about it. But Elijah said, take me on out of here. So God said, here, Elijah, I'm going to give you something to eat. And he gave him a meal to eat, and he said, you better eat good now, said, because you're not going to be eating anymore for about 40 days. Then he took him off in the back of the wilderness and back in a cave over there. And just as much as said to him, you know, Elijah, now you're tired and you're weary and you want to go home. So I've got a chariot over you and I'm waiting, but I got a little mission first. I heard you when you said this, let me die. I heard you. I'm going to take you on home, Elijah. But before I do, there's one more thing I want you to do. He said, well, what's that? The Lord said, go back over there. And there's a fellow plowing out in the field and said he's not tired and weary. He's ready to go. He's following a yoke of oxen over there and said, you go over there and you just kind of tap him on the shoulder and say, follow me. And he'll get the idea. You go back over there and you anoint Jehu king, because when I take you out of here, I'm not through, Elijah. Somebody said, the prophet's dead. But he said, Elijah, when I take you out of here, said, I'm still not through. I got lots of things to do yet. Hallelujah. Elijah, he felt like he'd done everything it was to be done. Isn't that right? You know what causes a fella to get like that? Because that's his ministry. When he looks and he says, that's all there is to be done. It is all he's supposed to do because that's his ministry. But see, God wasn't through. Hundreds and hundreds of years since that time, God's worked great and mighty miracles. He brought Elisha on the scene and done twice as many miracles as he did by Elijah. He wasn't through. God isn't through, folks. He's got something to do. How many of you know that? God's got something to do. All right, he said, Elijah, you want to die. I got a chariot prepared for you. I'm going to take you out of here. But since I still got some work to do, you go back over there. And you anoint somebody in your stead, and I'll let him do the preaching from now on, and I'll take you over yonder and give you a rest. You love Jesus? And I don't know about what the Lord might have whispered to him. You know, when Elijah began to think, praise God, it's over at last, the victory's won. Paul said, I've finished my course. From henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He didn't back up when he said that. He said, I fought a good fight, didn't he? He did. He fought a good and whipped the devil while he was doing it. He said, I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. He didn't stumble at it and say, I tried to keep the faith. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. From henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And everyone that will keep the faith, Paul said, God don't make mistakes. If he said it, he'll do it. It's yea and amen. At the end of the way, you'll get it. But be sure you do what he tells you. That's the confidence we got, isn't it? God that could swear by no greater, swear by himself, saying, blessing, I will bless thee and multiply, and I will multiply thee. And I don't know but what God might have whispered to him. The Bible don't record this. But I don't know but what God might have said, now Elijah, don't get too comfortable. Because in a little while I'm going to call for you and Moses. And you still got a little more to do. I don't know but what he didn't do that. But there's one thing about it, he's sure going to call for him. The time's coming when he's going to call for him. He might have went away in a fiery chariot, but God has got him somewhere. And after a while, God's going to say, Elijah. And we're living in that age. How do you know that? See, way back there was hundreds of years ago. And God said, just go on and sit down and rest a little while. You know, that's using my old country fine terms of expression. Go on and sit down and rest a little while. But in a little while, Elijah, I'm going to call for you. And you know it's getting time for him to call for him. How do you know that? Somebody said, why do you think it's getting time to call for Elijah? Because there's 17 states they set on fire. There's a drought. Jezebel's on the rampage. Isn't that right? It must be time to call for Elijah. Something must be about to happen. Something better happen. All right. So then God said to Elijah, said, just go on, Elijah. Go on. And so he prepared a fiery chariot. And he sent Elijah back. And Elijah went back over there and he found Elisha. When he got over there, he anointed him prophet. And old brother Elisha took him after him and he followed him. Everywhere he went, he followed him. He didn't leave him for nothing. He stayed right with him. Just like Joshua stayed with Moses, so did Elisha stay right with Elijah. You know why God did that? God wanted somebody to stay with Moses to learn the ways of Moses, to learn how Moses lived, the way Moses prayed, what Moses done, so that he could develop the same characteristics, so that when God got ready to move, it wouldn't change the whole thing all the way around, but it'd be the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always done that. I've made this statement a lot of times. All of this thing about somebody jumping up over yonder or jumping up over yonder, that isn't going to happen. God has got a systematic order. And every person is going to follow that order. And God's going to raise up one from another. And the man that God raises up is going to be following another man that God's already raised up. Somebody say amen. These people running out here, they got the idea they're going to start their own thing and bounce off like a rubber ball. You're not going to do that for God. You're going to be following somebody that God's already raised up. God works in succession. You're going to learn the same message, go the same way, follow the same path. And if you bounce off out here somewhere and you get you something, you're going to start your campground, you're going to get a head full of knowledge and you're going to do a whole lot of this and that. You're going to find out that you're going to get tangled up and balled up like a kitty with a ball of yarn and just roll right out into the wrath of God in the path of the devil. Hallelujah. But glory to God. Hallelujah. Old brother Elisha was hard on Elijah's trail. Somebody said, hey, you better turn aside over here. He said, no, I'm following him. I'm following him. And then them sons of the prophets come over and begin to try to indoctrinate him. No, no, I've already been indoctrinated. I'm following him. I'm going the way that he goes. Hallelujah. You know why Elisha was doing that? Because Elijah said, Elisha, you've asked for a double portion of my spirit. Said, if you'll keep your eyes on me and see me when I go out of here, I'll give it to you. Oh, brother Elisha, from that time on, I believe he strained every nerve in them eyes. Every move that Elijah made. It didn't make any difference where he went. He was right there watching him. When he got down to the Jordan and Elijah just told him, said, stay over here. No, you said it. I believe it. And across the waters he went. And brother, he stuck to him like a bee would to honey. Isn't that right? He stayed with him. And when that fiery chariot swept down, you know why Elijah said that? Elijah knew that that experience was going to be so great and so mighty. God had already told him. And he knew when that chariot of fire swept down out of heaven and Elisha beheld a prance and horses and a chariot of fire, after that you wouldn't have to do nothing to his faith no more. He said, Elisha, if you can just stay around till this thing happens, when you see this miracle, your faith will be in position to work miracles. You won't have to worry no more. That's right. So this thing's going to be so outstanding that after you see it, you'll have so much confidence in the reality of God, you'll go back over Jordan and you'll really have a revival. You love Jesus? All right. So Elisha stayed right with him. He never did leave him. He kept his eyes on him. Everybody tried to discourage him, you know. Said, no, don't do that. But he stayed right with him. Now, when Elisha went over that Jordan and he looked and he saw that chariot of fire leaving. He saw Elijah. Think what that would be like. Just think if a chariot of fire swept down here tonight. Now somebody said, Brother Pike, don't get beside yourself. You know ain't nothing like that going to happen. It could happen. Oh, somebody said, would never be nothing like that. But you know that little servant over there that didn't think anything was going on. God said, oh, there Elijah said, God opened his eyes. Isn't that right? And the Bible said the whole place was full of fire chariots, prancing and horses. Is that right? Don't you know that was some more experience? Here they are just walking along together, just to talking, you know. Walking along together. Kind of reminds me of that picture down there, you know. Just walking along together. Here they are walking along together. All of a sudden, down comes a fire chariot. Now, Elijah probably didn't tip his hat because he probably didn't have on one. But he stepped on board and said, goodbye, brother. And away he went. Boy, I'll tell you what. I got a feeling that Elisha shouted so much it looked like a bunch of wild horses had been in that place. By the time he got over that experience with God, he probably shouted and hollered and screamed and stomped so much it probably looked like a bunch of wild horses had been around that place. And when he finally got control of himself, he got a hold of that mantle, wrapped it around him, and started back to the Jordan. Boy, he was full of fire. Oh, what an experience that was. There he had that mantle on his shoulder. He had done seen the reality of God. Had that thing wrapped around his shoulder and walked up to the Jordan. And he said, get away back, Jordan. I'm coming over. And he just popped that mantle in there. She went and over he went. God had so blessed him that his faith was outstanding and terrific. When he got back over, he was so illuminated, so mightily anointed of God, that even the sons of the prophets run and fell down at his feet. They said, I see God. Oh, I see God. Like in the days of Moses, when they fell down at Moses' feet, they said, I see God. I see God. And they fell down and they said, my, my, my. Said that same spirit that was on Elijah. Said, I see it on Elisha. I see it on Elisha. See, now you understand what I'm saying? The same spirit that God has always been. It's the same spirit that's been in the church. The same spirit that's been in the prophets. That same spirit today is in the ministry. If it's the true ministry of God, it's in the ministry. If it's not in the ministry, it's not the ministry of God. That same spirit, see? It's working, that same identical spirit. It's working. It's moved on. The same spirit that was back yonder in Elijah moved right on down. And it was in Peter. It come right on down. It was in John. The same spirit. And Peter walked on the water. Mighty things took place. And that same spirit moved on down. And it was back there in the time of Martin Luther. It's back there in the time of Brother Branham. But it's moved on down. And today that same spirit is in me today. That same spirit is in you today. That same spirit is in the church today. Hallelujah. That same God. He's here. Hallelujah. That same wonderful spirit. That same presence. That same greatness. That same God. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, that couldn't be like that. But it is. Hallelujah, it is. Ah, you say, but Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. I remember one time I said that to somebody too. Yeah, I said that to somebody too. So you don't have to leave that part out. That's taken care of too. But I'll tell you something. That same wonderful presence of God, that same spirit of Elijah, is in the earth today. It's the same power of God that's in the hearts of the children of men. And God will make it known day after day from here on out. It'll be made known. Why? Because Jezebel's on the rampage. Hallelujah. God will continue to magnify this.
Like in the days of Moses, God magnified Joshua. The Bible said God began to magnify Joshua. Why did he magnify Joshua? Because he wanted somebody to lead God's people. Say, but God doesn't need anybody today to lead his people. Well, why did he make such a mistake in putting a ministry out here? Why did he just leave them alone and let them go? Why did he bother to put a five-fold ministry out here if he don't need nobody to lead his people? He made a great mistake, if that be true. God has a ministry. God has a ministry. God has an anointing. God has a leadership. And that person that God speaks, or those people that God sends, will speak God's word. And they'll speak God's word faithfully. The Bible said the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. I ain't talking about a Sunday school teacher either. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets. Not just a natural printed page. Anybody can read that. We got people that can quote that, that's got photostatic minds. They can quote a whole passage of it. That ain't the word of the Lord coming to the prophets. What is the word of the Lord? The word of God is the divine revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual word. That spiritual word comes to the prophets of God. It comes to the prophets. And you might not think much of them, but the Bible said his holy prophets and apostles. He thinks a whole lot of them. He called them his holy prophets. In the book of Revelation said the time has come to reward his holy apostles and his holy prophets. All right, so then, God thinks a lot of his prophets. And the word of the Lord came into the prophets. And the word of the Lord still comes unto the prophets. Somebody said, "My brother Pine, there was prophets back yonder, but there ain't no prophets today." Somebody said that God just said in the ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. How do you believe that? I said, he set them in the body, didn't he? Apostles and prophets. In the early church there was prophets. For the Bible says the prophet Agabus in the early church said, "Paul, thus saith the Lord." Didn't he? The prophet said to Paul, "Thus saith the Lord." There was prophets back there. A prophet talking to an apostle saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And it happened just that way. You don't find Paul kicking up his heel and saying, "Look here, fella. You don't know who I am. I'm the overseer." No, you don't find him doing that. It came to pass. The prophet of the Lord said, "Paul, I'm taking this girdle." He put it around himself. Not around Paul, but around himself. He put it around himself and he said, as he'd done that, said, "So shall the man be bound that wears this girdle at Jerusalem." Is that right? Is that right? Now, in other words, he spoke the word of the Lord. "So shall the man be bound at Jerusalem." Now, he said, "Thus saith the Lord." He didn't bind Paul, did he? He didn't speak the words to bind Paul. He wasn't trying to bind Paul. He didn't take the girdle and bind Paul. But he said, "The word of the Lord says that you will be bound, Paul." And Paul didn't doubt it. He believed it. But he said, "I'm not only ready to be bound." He said, "They can bind me if they want to. They can put my feet in fetters if they want to. I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered for God. I've done what I felt I was to do. I'm ready." And he said, "Let them do what they want to. I'm ready to die for Christ if that's what it takes." I tell you, it's a long ways from the church of today, ain't it? Ain't that right? I got a feeling when there'll be too many of us be ready to be put in prison for the next 3 years for God, let alone die for him. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then, there is prophets of God. There's prophets of God today. There'll always be prophets of God. There's prophets of the Lord. Even the book of Revelation. After the whole Bible is finished, after the New Testament's finished, after the book of Revelation is wrote, in the book of Revelation, the last writings of the Bible, you find the voice of God speaking from heaven saying, it is time to reward God's holy apostles and prophets. Now, holy Elijah, he was a prophet. He was a great prophet. But as I said, he was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. The writer tried to tell him in the New Testament. Oh, they said, look at Elijah. Look what Elijah did. And no doubt they magnified Elijah, even in the days of Peter and James and Paul. And probably old brother James would stand up and preach, and Paul would stand up and preach. And Peter and John, all of them. And Peter probably would preach boldly enough and say, folks, look at that great prophet Elijah. I just hear Peter say it, you know, as it rang out of his mouth, standing back there. He'd say, my, what a prophet. And then everybody looked with great questions, you know. And then the old brother, he'd speak up. He'd say, but let me tell you something now. He was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. He had problems just like you and I. He had thoughts to come to his mind just like you and I. He had feelings and impressions just like you and I. He had weak sensations to run over him. Strong sensations. Just like you and I. All kind of things happened to him just like it happened to you and I. But he prayed to God. And he fasted. He believed in God. He trusted in God. See, the idea is to get over to you that he wasn't no special person. The idea is for the preacher to get it over to you that he was a man. Elijah was a man just like you're a man. I'm a man. So was Elijah. When Jesus walked this earth, he was a man just like you and I are a man. Come on, folks. Somebody said, yeah, but what a man. Yeah, that's the way I think of it too, them sons of God. Yeah, but what a man. The Bible said they shall be equal with the Master. Is that right? Hallelujah. They're walking this earth, sons of the living God. Not just an Elijah, but a son of the living God. Who are we? We're the sons of God walking there. Who are we? Something to crow about. Glory to God, somebody said you're crowing like a young rooster. I'll tell you what, I got something to crow about. Sons of the living God. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about a born-again experience with God. Somebody that's a son of God, born into the kingdom of a living God. Not like a bunch of picnics that sit around and pick the preacher to death and try to find out if he's going to fall, if he's really got it, if he's under the anointing, if he really believes what he's saying. But I'm talking about somebody fully persuaded like Abraham was. Somebody that's convinced. Somebody that's been with God. Somebody that's got an experience. Hallelujah. A son of God. Elijah was great. So was John the Baptist. And the same spirit of Elijah on him. But the Bible said, notwithstanding, he that's the least one of the sons of God is greater than him. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't go to trying to tell us that. That we got somebody here greater than Elijah. I'll tell you what, we got somebody here greater than Elijah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you don't believe that. Yes, I do believe that. He said, you must be a fool. I'm a fool for Christ. I do believe that. I believe it with all my heart. You know, that's the trouble with some of the people of today. They say, you know, I want to believe, but I'm afraid if I believe, what if it don't happen? You don't have to worry. You don't believe it to start with. There wouldn't be no what if it don't happen in your mind to start with. If you believe it, the fact there's a what if it don't happen proves you ain't believing to start with. But I'll tell you one thing. If you'll pray and seek God and get down to business with God, there won't be any what if it don't happen. You'll believe it's going to happen. You'll believe in God. You'll sell out to God. There won't be anything wrestling back there against you. You'll just say, hallelujah, glory to God, yea and amen, because Jesus said it. You know, that's what the church needs to do, is get out of that old rut of the carnal mind of wondering and wishy-washy and wonder if it's going to be right. Don't sit down under a juniper tree. Somebody said, if I just had what Elijah had it and sat down under a juniper tree and thought about dying. Old brother Jonah, a prophet of God, went over and sat down under a tree and pouted with God and said, just let me die. You told me it's going to happen. It didn't happen. Just let me die. Ain't that something? Here he'd already been swallowed up by a whale, and a whale spit him out and vomited him out, and here he is still pouting. Boy, what does it take to convert some folks? It's no wonder we have so much trouble with some Bethlehemites. If God can put him in the belly of the whale and he get out and still pout with God. Don't you love Jesus? You say, what are you trying to get over to us, Brother Pike? That Jonah was a man of like passion, the same as you and I are. Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you and I are. But brother, when they prayed, they believed. When they prayed to God, they believed that God heard them. And they believed that something was going to happen. And it happened just like he said. It happened just like he said. They believed. Brother, when we pray, we ought to believe. Don't go to saying, well, what if it don't happen? Don't go to messing with that old mind of darkness and questions back there. Who is the devil to question what God said anyway? Who are you to question what God said? God said, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't you go over and counsel with your own understanding. Turn around here and say, now, Brother Pike, what do you think about it? It don't make no difference what Brother Pike said about or thinks about it. It's what God said about it. See, I sat down over here like Elijah did. I sat down on a juniper tree and I say, well, I know the Bible said, but, well, you know, finally I'm in a wilderness. It might take me 40 years to get out. But that ain't the way to do it. See, when you read it in the Bible and it says that in the Bible, and then back here somebody said, well, I know that it says that, just say, shut up. Don't have no conversation with him. Because see, he'll say, well, now let's be reasonable. I know that that's in the Bible. And I know that you love the Lord. But, see, when he opens his big mouth, say, shut up. It says in the Bible, and tell him to shut up. Say, it says in the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God, it says it in the Bible. That's enough. You understand what I'm saying? See, don't worry about the other. People that sit around, they say, I say, well, what are you doing? They say, well, I'm waiting for God to make the way. You ain't going to get no way made. You ain't going to get no way made. You can wait for God to make the way from now on, but God will never make the way. Somebody said, no, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. Yes, I do. See, God can't make the way. It's impossible for God to make the way. Because God has already made the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. If you're supposed to go preach, go preach. Somebody said, but I ain't got no money. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody said, but I ain't got no car. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody said, but I got to make my family a living. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody said, but I owe some bills. But I ain't got nothing to do with it. If God said, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. That's the way it is. You love Jesus. See, why do we question the Lord? Why are we always asking questions? If the Word of God says it, then that's the way it is. The Lord came to old brother Abraham and said, Abraham, at the time of life, I'm going to come to Sarah and she is going to bear a child. Old Abraham said, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. I know it happened. That's faith. And that was his attitude. But now look at Sarah's attitude. Sarah said, laughed and chuckled a little bit and said, And that angel said, now why does she do that? See, the Lord knows your thoughts. Here she is behind the curtain, standing inside the tent here, trying to get something ready for the angel, and she chuckles a little bit. You know what was wrong? In the first place, she didn't really believe in was angels. But Abraham did. And Sarah, she just chuckled a little bit, you know. Said, yes, yeah, now, you know, like the fellow said, yeah, if God opens the windows of heaven, might this thing be? And then God turned around and said, I'll open the windows of heaven. Isn't that a rebuke? I'll open the windows of heaven. All right, so then Sarah, she didn't believe. She just chuckled a little bit. But that angel outside, that person outside that had the discernment of the heart, Christ, visiting Abraham, where he said, Abraham saw my day and was glad, rejoiced to see it. And he did rejoice. And there, outside the tent, Sarah didn't believe that, but Abraham believed it. And Sarah questioned God in her thoughts. That's what I was telling you this morning. You've got to get away from questioning God in your thoughts. You can't do that. You've got to get away from it. And so then when she questioned God in her thoughts, you know what happened? That person spoke up and said, why did Sarah laugh? Oh, Sarah said, I didn't do that. He said, yes, you did. Not only laugh now, but here you turn around and lie about it. Come on, folks. Boy, it's a good thing she had a good husband. Ain't you glad you got a good husband, wives? Amen. I said, it's a good thing that she had a husband that God favored, because she was always causing problems, wasn't she? Sure she was. She got Abraham in a mess every way he turned. Is that right? But Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Hallelujah. He believed God. When God said, Abraham, take your son up, offer him up on the altar. God had already said, Abraham, through thy seed, Isaac, I'll make a great nation. Abraham believed God. And he took that son up and he laid him down on the altar because he believed God. And he told him men at the foot of the mountain, he said, we're going up there and worship God. Me and my lads going to the top of the mountain. Said, but keep your eyes open, we'll be back. God had said, kill him. But the Bible said Abraham's faith was so strong, he was going to plunge that knife into him. And I believe this with all of my heart. Abraham would have plunged that knife right into his heart as the tears rolled down his cheeks. And then stepped back and said, now Lord, I believed you and I've done what you said. Now raise him up from the dead and keep your promise. I know you're going to do it. I believe Abraham would have done it. But God spared him tears and said, don't do that, Abraham. Oh, I know you love me. There ain't nothing between me and you, Abraham, not even that son. He said, don't you touch him. And that great angel swept down and reached down there, so to speak, and caught that hand and was stated, because I believe with all my heart that he reached and got it, because I believe Abraham was coming down with it. And he reached and got it and said, wait, Abraham. Hallelujah. He said, God's got a sacrifice. He said, you look over there in the brambles. If you don't believe in miracles, said, just look right over there. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus caught in the nettle of thorns. He's provided himself a sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh can provide. Do you believe that? So then I'm talking about not questioning God. I want a church at Little Bethlehem. I want people that wake up in the morning that's not routinist, that don't come to church just to be routinist, but they wake up in the morning and they shake themselves and they get out of that old doubtful atmosphere, that old condemnation. Get up in the morning and praise God. Raise up and get wide awake and say, glory to God, you promised me, Jesus, and today we're going to walk together. Hallelujah. And today things is going to go right for me. And you're going to bless me, God, and we're going to do things together today. Hallelujah. And go out as bold as the lion, as harmless as a dove, as wise as a serpent, as gentle as a lamb. Go out courageous in faith. Walk out there. And every time that old carnal mind of yours starts saying something, say, shut up. Shut up. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to say a few more words and I'm going to close. Now, what is this thing called faith? See, what is it? Do you believe? Can't you imagine a man, a human being now, like Brother James, a human being. He just gets up. Human being now, just like you and me, just a human being. Nothing special about him. He wasn't born with no special talents. Somebody said, well, he was born with special talent. Wasn't so. Here he gets up, a man called Peter. a man that's been flipping around and flopping around like an old dish rag. But all of a sudden he looks and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word of the Lord said, "Hey, Peter, come over here." No, Peter, he didn't listen to nothing. He just jumped overboard, no doubt said, "Glory to God, yonder's Jesus," and started walking on the water. Walking on the water. Then he, no doubt, he stopped thinking, "Oh my, what have I done?" Down he went. You understand what I'm saying? A little bit of reasoning. Down he went, and Jesus reached down, got him, and said, "Why did you doubt, Peter?" Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, that's what I want to do. I just want to get out there and turn loose." Boom. Ain't no buts about it. So they say, "But I just feel like I could do it. You know, I could just turn loose." But ain't no buts about it. "But what, Brother Pike, what is the people going to think if it don't happen?" What do you mean, what are they going to think if it don't happen? Say, what do you mean? What are they going to think if it don't happen? Say, what do you mean by that? If God's word says it, it's got to happen. What do you mean if it don't happen? See, it can't be but one thing. Not the word of God, it's your doubt. See? It's your questioning heart. All of the promises of God are yea and amen. If the Bible said by his stripes you were healed, say yea, amen. Hallelujah, amen, yea, amen. You said it, God, it's got to be that way. That's faith. If the Lord said you're a preacher, and you're supposed to go preach, say yea, amen. And the wife would say, "But what about it?" Say yea, amen. She said, "But yea, amen." Say, "Honey, you might as well shut up." Yea, amen. God said for me to preach. Isn't that right? That's the way it's supposed to be. If God said I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, then God wants you in health. God wants you to prosper. That's his attitude towards you. And he's done everything to give you all things that pertain to life and give you your health. Just say hallelujah. Yea, amen. God, I'm in. I'm going. That's it. That settles it. Don't go to talking to that old mind of yours. Don't go to leaning to your own understanding. Because every time you do it, you'll fail. That old mind of yours is a reprobate. It's supposed to be dead. And if you're a child of God, it is dead. Because the Bible said, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof." So you're not you anymore, you're him. It's not you living, but him. How many listen to what I'm saying tonight? You're going to need this faith. Some of you've got problems right now. And you know why you've got problems? Because you've never paid attention. You're going to have more problems than that. It's just in the family right now, but it's going to be you after a while. It's going to be a whole lot worse than what you think it is, because it's going to be you and not just in the family. You better listen. How can I escape these things? God purifies my heart by faith. He loved Abraham. Why did he love Abraham? Because Abraham believed God. Abraham was a friend of God. Can't you imagine a man walking in the earth and God says, "Abraham, I'm going to do such and such." Abraham says, "Yeah, amen, hallelujah. I know that, God. I believe every word of it. I don't doubt none of it." Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. Someone say, "You must be crazy." No, I'm not crazy. That's the kind of person that Abraham was. God said, "Enoch, I'm going to take you out of here." "Yeah, amen, hallelujah. I'm ready to get on board. Where's the chair?" That's the attitude. That's right. That's the way it ought to be, folks. Now, if God said jump through that wall, take a running start as hard as you can, hit it. Somebody say, "Yeah. When they pick you up off the floor, you'll learn a lesson." I'll tell you what. I'd rather them pick me up off the floor and they say, "You must be a fool." I say, "I'm a fool for Christ." If I can still hold together, I say, "Glory to God, I'm still more happy that I believed it and I've done it." You love Jesus. All right, so I want some people at Bethlehem that have faith. I want you to get a loose from that old you. I buried him out there in the water when I baptized you. I want you to get a loose from him.
And I want you to get in here with me and take my hand in God. And I want us to be a faith team for God that'll shake the very foundation of hell. I believe that we can literally shake the foundations of hell. Jesus had so much faith till he grabbed the bars and shook and the doors swung open. Old Paul the Apostle had so much faith they put him over there in the bars and put his feet in stock. And Paul began to pray and the angel of God shook the place till the doors come open. Old Peter had so much faith in God they put him in jail. And about the time that God had pointed there, here come an angel and the doors went open. That's where we're supposed to be living, folks. We're sons of God. There ought to not be a prison in the world could hold us. Come on. Amen. The Bible said when the viper bit Paul, he just shook him off. He didn't run over and say, hey, can you split this and can you give me some? Can we get to a doctor? Paul just shook him off, went on about his business. And the Bible said them folks kept looking. And they're looking, and the Bible said, they said, he's going to die. He's going to die. We know that snake. When he bites folks, they don't stay around. He's going to die. And old Paul just kept on going. Kept on going. Isn't that right? If they're drinking a deadly thing and not hurt them, take up serpents. He just kept on going. He believed in the promises. He didn't ponder over it. And they said, that man's a god. And then they began to worship him. And Paul had to straighten them out. He's a god. Now that's the way it's supposed to be. See, let's stand together. You say, I got a problem. What kind of problem? Don't you know children of God don't have no problems? Somebody said, I got a problem. You don't have any problems. Somebody said, but I got a sickness. You don't have any sicknesses. Come on now. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I don't have any sicknesses? The Bible said he took your sicknesses. He bare your infirmities in his body. What are you doing with them? What are you doing with them? Let's just go rejoicing. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand together, can you? Now, who is it that can do all of this? You can. You can do all of this. Some I say, but Brother Pike, don't do that. Folks, don't do that. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I've been born again. I'm sincere. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not playing around. I'm trying to serve God. And the devil is going to get out of my way. I'm going to plow through him. It's like my Cindy. She had a vision not too long ago, and she's trying to get through a place. And every time she'd go through it, this great big old beastly serpent or whatever it was would come out at her, and she said she couldn't get through it. And about that time, she's having some problems anyway. And said she watched her mother. And she watched what her mother did. And said her mother started, that big thing rose up, and the mother just paid no attention, walked right on through it and got out of the way. Said her mother said, you do it, it worked that way for you. So she got her a good start, and when that thing run out, she just passed right on us like it wasn't there. He just got out of the way. You believe God will use you? You know, I believe this has to do with the church as well as my wife. But the other night I was praying, I had a vision, and in the vision I saw God use my wife in the gifts of the Spirit. I saw him do it. I believe it has to do with my wife and with the church, because I've seen him use her in the gifts of the Spirit. But I saw him use her in the gift of the Spirit. So you ladies better be careful when you go down and talk to them. I saw it, and in the vision, I saw her more than one time being used in the gift of the Spirit, and in the vision, it was exactly right. Right down to the T. Somebody say hallelujah. God loves women too. They're not garbage cans like somebody said. All right. Now, I believe that has to do with the church too. I believe God will use you in the gift of the Spirit. At this time, it's the hour for it. And I believe that God will use you if you'll let him use you. Isn't that wonderful? All right, this is wonderful to me. I hope it's wonderful to you. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. We preached on the beauty of holiness this morning. perfecting holiness unto the Lord. How wonderful, how sweet, how glorious. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I have all kind of problems. The Bible said in this world, you'll have problems. But in me, you'll have peace. And I'm so happy. I've crossed over into another country, into another world where there's peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Continued happy at rest. Entered into his rest. Therefore there remains the rest for God's people. Fear, lest ye seem to come short of entering into God's rest. Resting in Jesus. Resting in Christ. Having faith, confidence. He that has entered into the rest of the Lord has ceased from his own works. At peace and at rest. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Oh, my rest is complete while I sit at Jesus' feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. You believe everything's going to be all right? Everything's going to be all right. You believe that? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Hallelujah. Brother Floyd, take courage. Everything's going to be all right. Still's complete while I sit at Jesus' feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you really truly love him? He's so sweet, so mellow, so rich, so right. Just feel so sweet and loving. Don't you love Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. How rich, how sweet, so sweet. Jesus is so sweet. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? My rest, it's complete while I sit at Jesus' feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. While we sing that again, I want you to come down to the altar for a few minutes, can you? I just want to pray over you, fellowship with you a little. Oh, sweep over my soul, loving Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for my rest, oh, it's so complete while I sit here, Lord, at your feet. Sweet Jesus, oh, sweep over my soul. Don't you love him? I want you to lift your hands up while they play praying on the organ. There's a rest. Seeing that they of the wilderness did not enter in, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. There's a rest. You can have rest. You can have peace. Like my little son George Jr. today, he made a statement. He said, Daddy, what I want is peace of mind. I want peace of mind, so that's what I want. You can have it. You can have it. Jimmy, we can have it. We can have it. It's real. Hallelujah. There's nothing like it.